Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by David Hellier.
Good morning, everyone. Let me set some ground rules before we start, otherwise I'll leave because I'll be upset because you won't play along with me, which is you need to play along with me, okay? Because you heard Shagass in his own inimitable fashion tell you that it's not so bad out there with the kids. Well, let me tell you, someone had to hold me down and tell me it's not so bad in there with the adults. You all look a lot taller and more mature than the people I'm used to speaking to. So forgive me if I try and talk up to you. But I will try and get this at a level that you can also join in with. But first we need to work out what you got. It's been holidays, isn't it? For kids that have been off school for the last 2 weeks. You're all enjoying a bank holiday weekend now, aren't you? Typical British weather. We're all off work, so the sun's gone hidden away and the clouds are out. That's how bank holidays work in the UK, isn't it? Can anyone be brave and tell me what they've done over the holidays or what your plans are to do? Anyone? Who's had a holiday from school? All the kids suddenly are like, no, I'm very diligent. I was at school the whole time. If it means I don't have to speak, then I'll say I was at school. Who's had time off school? What have you done? Anyone done anything interesting? Come on, Sam. Revision? Okay, well done. Your parents are proud of you. This is a great thing. Revision is brilliant. Anyone else done anything? Zoe, what have you done? You went to where? Spring Harvest? Wow, that sounds great. What have you done? Stayed in your room. See, when you say it like that, it sounds more exciting, doesn't it? Stayed in my room. Stayed in your room? No way. Oh, cool. Grown-ups, you did nothing. Come on, grown-ups. What have you done this last... Yes. Wow, two London crosswalks. Aha, you thought you'd done well doing one. She's done two. What have you done in the last week?
Planted grass in the back garden.
Whoa. Green fingers. Anyone else done any gardening? Yes.
Went to the cinema.
Hey, very good. If you'd like any other movie recommendations, she's around after the service over tea and coffee. And very good. Yes, at the back table. Sorry, I couldn't see. You went to the Minecraft movie? No, you two can argue about movie recommendations after the service over tea and coffee. Brilliant. Anything else? Yeah.
I moved.
You moved?
Yeah, I had to move from one place to another.
Oh, excellent. My mind is racing. I'm thinking, did you just like move? Or did you moved house?
Yes.
Right, okay. It was more than just you. Okay, cool. Brilliant. I was tempted to move earlier with the song, but I resisted. Yes, what did you do? Yes. What have you done? You didn't go, or you did? Okay, so you've watched some things on TV and you were playing on your game thing? Sounds about right. Nice! Well done. A lot can happen in a week, can't it? Should we have a reminder come up onto the screen? Look, that will say something along the lines of, a lot can happen in a week. I'm just going to keep pacing, and eventually you'll visualise something that's like a sunburst with a silhouetted outline. Oh, look at that. A lot can happen in a week. A lot can happen in a week. Could anyone tell me what happened last Sunday? Victor's going, please, remember what we did last Sunday. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. Yes, a lot can happen in a week, can't it? Yes. We're going to think back in a minute as to what happened in that first Easter week. We're going to go from Palm Sunday through to this morning, which is something like Resurrection Sunday, right? Shagass was uncertain as to what we should officially call it, but we'll officially call it Resurrection Sunday. There we go. Debate settled. Are you ready for that? I have some mystery pictures for you. Can you please fix your eyes on the screen? I need your help These are some unlabeled pictures. What are these shapes, ladies and gentlemen? These shapes are for you. They are what? Pastor Victor, no cheating because you're a pastor. That means you've got a head start. What did you say? Isosceles triangles. I think you can get a cream for that. No, they're not. I mean, maybe they are. Any mathematicians here, are they isosceles triangles? That's not what I'm looking for. It's good, but it's not right. I'll tell you that. It's good, but it's not right. Pyramids, no. Hands raised, yes. There are rectangles there, but much like the isosceles triangles, they're just a distraction. That's not what I'm interested in. Yes, at the back. Sorry, mate. That's another type of triangle that I haven't heard of. I'm learning things this morning. Yes, go for it. Is it a mountain or a hill? Over the mountains and the seas. No, it's not. Shayla. Ooh. Is she getting closer? Close, but it's good, but it's not right. It's good, but it's not right. It's not a time. Sam. Sorry? Trapezium. Again, I'm learning lots of mathematical shapes. And I'm very thankful for this education. This is a school, and I think it's right that just because it's the weekend, they shouldn't stop teaching here. yes, go on. It's a time scale. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, let me propose to you that these are, in fact, they're very small, aren't they? But these white squares are actually miniature book icons. Does that help? So what if I said each of those book icons was a chapter of a book? Ah! Don't shout at me while I'm speaking. What did you say? That's the four Gospels. Can't you see it now? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Oh, my word. Look at that. It just appeared as if by magic. It wasn't magic, though, because it's a church. It was as if by magic. Very good. Well done. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's keep it on that for a moment, because a lot can happen in a week, can't it? Can you see each one of those little books is a chapter inside the book? Matthew's got how many chapters? 28. Well done if you said 28. you're reading the amplified version, whoever said 29. 28. And so we can see that this rectangle represents Palm Sunday that you shouted out at me earlier on. So Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus, occurs in Matthew chapter 21. What do you notice about where that falls inside the book? Hold that thought. It's a rhetorical question. In Mark, Mark has 16 chapters. And Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, happens in chapter 11. What do you notice about where it happens? In Luke, Luke has got how many chapters? 24. Top of the class. And the triumphal entry happens in chapter? Nearly 19. And John. John's got 20, how many chapters? 21. If I stand just here, there's a very strange echo. 21, and the triumphal entry is in chapter 12. Look at the shape of these Gospels. Look at the shape. Forget the words. Just look at the shape. Isn't there a really interesting shape to these Gospels? They're trying to tell you something just by the amount of words they spend on different topics. They spend these two, two-thirds of their book, three-quarters of their book, talking about 33 years, and they spend the last quarter of the book talking about 1 week and some change. Right? These guys spend two-thirds of their book speaking about 3 years in Jesus' life, and spend the last week, third, speaking about 1 week and some change. I know there are 40 days of resurrection appearances, but trust me, more than a chapter in it. It's only a paragraph in some Gospels. What are they trying to tell you about 1 week? They're trying to tell us a lot can happen in a week, aren't they? And they're trying to tell us that of all the weeks that Jesus lived, and look, he lived a lot of them. Of all the weeks that Jesus lived, one of them was fascinating. Like fascinating. Because they expanded upon it, zoomed in on it, and said, if you're going to read about all of it, look at this one. Look at John. Look at John. John, he's the last gospel writer, isn't he? He's the more considered one, which means he looked at what everyone else done and said, nice try, but have a go at this. And then he wrote this crazy gospel, which is totally different to the others. Yes, it includes many of the same stories, but the approach and the appeal of it is completely different. I mean, just look at the start of the gospel. But he puts the triumphal entry here. And then this is all zoomed in, laser focused on this one week. Huh. What's the very last line in John, by the way? Should we read it? Just for fun. This isn't the point of this morning. It's just an interesting thing. John 21, verse 25. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. That's the last line of John. John, who's gone, I've had a really good sit down. I've had a think about it all. This is my best effort. And you know what? If we'd written down everything about Jesus, there wouldn't be enough books. There wouldn't be enough space in all the books in all the world to write down what he had done. What an incredible thing. A lot can happen in a week. So, Dave, come on. Be nice. What did happen in that week then? Shall we have a look at what happened in the week? Let's have a look. Let's stick some key markers up on the screen. We had Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Then everyone except John says that the cleansing of the temple happens on the Monday. Jesus is coming in and is clearing out the money changers, all that sort of stuff. Tuesday, traditionally, we are being offered this as the time of the Olivet Discourse. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and all that stuff. And other things too. You get other parables, you get other bits and bobs of teaching. Spy Wednesday, who knows if it was Wednesday, but traditionally we associate Wednesday with the day that Judas has made his arrangement with the chief priests for his 30 pieces of silver. Thursday's the Last Supper, Friday's crucifixion. Saturday, I think we all need a rest. Hey, Sabbath becomes a lot more important once we realise how busy everything is. And then Resurrection Sunday. A lot can happen in a week, can't it? A lot can happen in a week. I need to calm down. Some of you are quite relieved. Shall we have a look in a bit more detail at some of these events? Yes, Dave, I think that would be a brilliant idea. Should we start at Palm Sunday? Dave, I think that would be a fantastic idea. I'll do your bit. Just you sit there. let's have a look at Palm Sunday. Matthew 21 then, isn't it? Or Mark 11 or Luke 19. Where should we go? Let's go to Luke 19. If you've got a Bible, turn it to Luke 19. Are you ready? Luke 19. Now, I want you to just spot a pattern. I want you to listen to the words, but I want you to spot a pattern because you can all do it. And you'll all spot it, and by the end of it, you'll be very happy that you've spotted a pattern this morning, and you can go home and tell someone else. I'm a bit of a verbal processor, if you hadn't noticed. So when I think, I have to think out loud, which is unfortunate for my wife, which is why I've started a blog, because I have to tell her all the things I'm thinking about in order for me to understand what I'm thinking about. I don't know why I overshared that, but there you go. Bless you. It's because I'm a verbal processor. Luke 19... Verse 28. Read along if you've got your Bible. If you haven't, listen. After telling this story, Jesus went onward toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners,
rather unsurprisingly, asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowds spread their garments out, and you know the rest. Let's just focus on this little encounter with this little donkey. We added a donkey into the Christmas story, where there isn't really a very prominent role for a donkey, if we're honest. But here there really is. And what's the significance of it being a colt? Anyone know? It just means it's under 4 years old. That's it. It's young, young boy donkey. And it's quite clear here that it hasn't been ridden, isn't it? Let me ask you, if you were to choose an animal to make a rather public entrance to a rather large city with a rather overpopulated group of people there because it's the Passover and so lots of people are there, would you choose option A, the donkey that's been here a while, been ridden multiple times and is a safe pair of hands, or option two, the young one, it's under 4 years old, it's never been ridden, and who on earth knows what on earth is going to happen if you try and get on the back of it? Which are you choosing? Option A, you want the safe pair of hands, don't you? What does Jesus choose? The young one that's never been tried, never been tested. Let me just put it out there. This is not the point of this story. This is just an aside, but asides can be fun sometimes. So let's enjoy it. Jesus enters Jerusalem as the king, right? As the Messiah, right? That's the point of Palm Sunday, right? I'm saying right because you're supposed to be encouraging me and saying, yes, Dave, yeah, I like it. He also enters as the Lord of all. Even Lord over nature. Even Lord over donkeys that are under 4 years old and have never been ridden and no one knows what's going to happen if you get on their back. Lord of all. In this passage, when the disciples and the people welcoming him into Jerusalem shout out, they get told off, don't they? They go, shh, tell your people not to say those things, say the priests. And Jesus says, what in response? He says, if they didn't cry out, you never guess what would happen next. The stones would cry out. Why? Because he's Lord of all. Lord of all. Lord of nature. He's king of the donkey even more than he's king of me. He's king of those stones. He can make them do what he wants too. Interesting. But what did we want to spot here? Jesus told his disciples what? He told them what in this story? He told them exactly what was about to happen. He told them which donkey where and what the owner would, rather unsurprisingly, say when they tried to take it. And what happened? It happened just as he said it would. Spot a pattern. Jesus tells them what's about to happen. The disciples, in obedience, go. And it happens just as he said it would. Spot a pattern. Let's skip to the next story. Let's do the Passover meal. Mark 14. If you're reading along at home, Mark 14. Okay. Mark 14, verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into the city with these instructions. "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him, and at the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up, and this is where you should prepare our meal." So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived, you know the rest of the story. What's the pattern? You tell me. You're going to need to shout out for this bit, if I'm honest with you. Jesus tells his disciples what's going to happen. He tells it to them. They listen, and in obedience they go. And it happens just as he said it would. It happens just as he said it would. I've written in my notes here, go slow. Don't know whether that's applicable or not. Let's just keep going because we're having fun and I don't know when I'm supposed to stop. So let's just carry on quickly before Victor takes the mic back. let's look at one more story. Let's look at one more story that is particularly apt for this morning. Let's look at Resurrection Sunday. But let's look at the very first one. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Are you ready? Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." We didn't look at it, but just before Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, if you look in your gospel, anyone you choose to look at, either just before or just after, it'll say in the paragraph before or the paragraph after, Jesus predicts his own death. Right? Just before the triumphal entry, Jesus predicts his own death. In that prediction, he tells them exactly what's going to happen. He tells them that he's going to be crucified and that after 3 days he'll rise again. What's the pattern? Jesus says something. He tells his disciples. His disciples hear. And in obedience they go. And it happens just as he said it would. Now, sometimes that looks different to other times, doesn't it? Because in some of those times, like the first two, it was really clear that the disciples understood what Jesus was getting on about. And they went to the donkey and they went to find the man who was carrying the pitcher of water and going to the house. And they kind of expected what was going to happen. The third one breaks the rules a little bit, doesn't it? Because Jesus had said something and very clearly they hadn't understood it. And I don't want to say more by luck than judgment, but they did end up at the tomb on Sunday morning, right? But they weren't full of faith. They were carrying spices to embalm a dead man. But they turned up. And more importantly, Jesus did just what he said he would do. And you and I are living in the benefit of Jesus doing just what he said he would do. I wish I had a slide that said something like, just as he said he would. Oh, thanks, Steve. Just as he said he would. Shagas asked us this morning to think back to that first Easter, to think back to that first time when those disciples were on that incredible roller coaster ride of having an inkling that they knew they were in for something, but not really knowing what it was. I mean, they knew they were in for something. We'd had that sort of throwaway comment from Thomas, hadn't we, earlier on? Hey, let's all go to Jerusalem and die with him. Yay. He knew something was going on, but they didn't know what it was. Then they get all excited because of Palm Sunday and like, yes, we're going into Jerusalem and everyone's welcoming Jesus as their king, as their savior. This is going to be good. And then days later, Jesus is dead. And they're worried and they're uncertain. But two things can be true at the same time that don't have to cancel each other out. One was Jesus did die, and the second is Jesus did rise again. And in the fear and in the anxiety of that death, that is absolutely smashed
by the triumph of his resurrection. And we see in the resurrection appearances that we get given that Jesus reveals himself to people here, there, and everywhere. And you are one of those people who, in one sense and in one way, have had Jesus revealed to you after his resurrection. And you are one of those people who are continuing to catalogue the wonderful things that Jesus has done that John wrote about. John said that if all the things Jesus had done had been written about, I don't think there'll be enough books in all the world to contain them. That's because you keep adding pages in your life. As Jesus does things in your life and through you and with you and in you and around you, the works of Jesus are still being outworked through you, through his hands and his feet. Where is he keeping his hands and feet this morning? With you, in his body. That's where I keep my hands and my feet. Just keeps things easier, doesn't it? I don't have to look for them. They're in his body. Where's his body this morning? Here. Jesus is alive, living and moving in the world today through you. Jesus is very good at doing what he says he will do. It's like his special skill. Some of us have got special skills that are, you know, worth more than others. But this special skill is amazing. He does what he says he will do. So what has Jesus said he will do in your life? I want to offer you three things, and then I'm going to hand back to Pastor Victor. I want to offer you three things that I think Jesus says he'll do in your life. One is, and you don't need to have a special revelation to hear these, you can literally just nick them off me and write them down, it's fine. I think Jesus has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you could show forth the praises of him. I think Jesus has said to you that you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop, not that shouldn't be hidden, read it again, that cannot be hidden. Why? Because have you ever considered how difficult it would be to hide a city that was on a hilltop, that was having street lamps and house lights and all those sorts of things? You couldn't hide that, could you? No, because it's inevitable that it will be seen. It's inevitable that Jesus will be seen in and through you. You are the light of the world. Wow. And let me close with this, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. I think that Jesus has said over your life that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be his witnesses. Not delete as appropriate, you may not, sometimes, never on a weekend. You will be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. Their Jerusalem was just, let's just put Crawley in there. You will be his witnesses in Crawley, in West Sussex, and in the southeast of England, or the world, whichever comes first. You can get out of the southeast of England quite quickly to the whole world, can't you, thanks to Gatwick? You will be my witnesses. Jesus is alive, living and working through you and through me. And his power that he gives to us is in you, so that you will be the thing that we just said, isn't it? Be the witness. What is God saying to you? What is Jesus saying to you today? Because he's really good at doing what he says he will do in your life and in my life too. Shall we close our eyes just for a moment? As we've been talking, we've been looking at all
the different things that happened in Easter week, and we've been thinking about the fact that an awful lot can happen in a week. I can't even tell you what I've done this week. It's been so busy. But I don't want to be too busy that I miss what God is doing in my life. In John 4, Jesus is on a journey. He's walking from one place to another. He's walking from the south of the country to the north of the country. He's going from Jerusalem up to Galilee, and he's going through some area, an area called Samaria. Anyway, and he stays there for an extra 2 days. Why? Because he's not too driven to ignore the people that he's been sent for. He's not so focused on the end goal. He's willing to spend time with people. Are there people that God's sending me to? I mustn't think that they're in the way. They're part of the journey. They're part of what I've been sent for. Who are the people knocking around you? That they're not in the way, but they're part of the reason why you've been sent in the first place. Just ask yourself, Jesus, who are you sending me to? I get it. I get that you're living in me. I understand that you want to send me to the world, to my world at least. Who are the people in my world that you want me to reach out to with your resurrection power, that Holy Spirit power that lives on the inside of me? Father, thank you that as we see your love expressed in giving us Jesus, and as we see your power expressed, as we see Jesus dying and rising again in victory, that same love and power and victory lives in us. Father, as you send us to our world, help us go out with our eyes wide open so that we can see those who are around us. Help us to pause. Help us to give time. Help us to share the good that we have. Father, when we sometimes overlook the good that we have, help us be more aware of all the good that we have in you that we can give to those around us. Father, thank you for all the things you've said about us, and that we can be sure and we can be confident that we are that light of the world and that city on the hill and those people that are filled with your power, just as you said we would be. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.